If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 11 this morning. Verse 27 in Acts chapter 11. Paul and Barnabas, early missionaries that God sent out to the foreign fields, to a different people group, the Gentiles, to take the gospel of Christ to them, to spread the message around the world. In Acts 11 and verse 27, the Bible says, "In these days came prophets from Jerusalem to Antioch. There stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word, I ask that you'll guide me in what is said. May it honor and glorify you. We ask for the lost to be saved and your people edified. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, today we see the prophesying of Agabus the prophet that there would be a great dearth in the land. A dearth means a famine, a great need, or a great lack that was caused. Historians record that in Israel in the years 45 and 46 A.D., there was a famine in the land that brought great need among the people. And until the completion of God's word, there were prophets like this who would hear directly from God and speak as it is recorded here in the Bible. It is the word of God, the message that he brought. And there were apostles who are sent ones. The word apostle, sent ones, translated into Latin, is where we get the English word missionaries. They are sent out, as Raphael spoke about this morning in his message, and did a great job, by the way. Now, these prophets and apostles received sign gifts and direct revelation from the Lord. But as the scriptures were completed, that office of apostle and prophet have ceased. We prophesy now only by speaking of prophetic scripture that is already recorded. People do not receive divine revelation from God. We have the completed divine revelation, the Bible, the Word of God. Today, the office of a believer as a priesthood of believers and the church have replaced that ministry of the Old Testament time frame. It is important that we understand that God wants to use us today and through the fruit of the Spirit produced in our lives that we might do the ministry and the work of God through the church today. God uses today evangelists / missionaries, pastor, teacher, for the work of the ministry, to teach the people, to edify the saints for the work of the ministry. So we're all a part of the work of the ministry, and God uses us today. In Ephesians 4:11 through 15, we see that position that the evangelist, pastor, teacher plays in equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. The apostle understood this, and he understood the transitionary nature of his own life, that the time was coming where it was time for him to be offered and depart from us and do the work of the ministry by those who were left behind. So we have the prophecy of the prophet, first of all. He warns of a great dearth, a great famine that's coming into the land. And the Bible even tells us it was the time of the emperor where this was fulfilled, and Claudius Caesar did rule during those years where 45 and 46, historians record, a great famine was in the land. So when we give prophecy today, we speak of the prophetic scriptures to you. And I speak to you of the prophetic scriptures that, first of all, there is coming more than a great dearth upon the land. There is coming what is called the tribulation upon this world. Thanks be unto God in a prophetic voice. Before that event takes place, God has promised to rapture, to take from this earth all who are saved to be with Him forevermore. We have that glorious promise to be looking for His coming and ready for His coming, and that could take place at any time. So we first of all have the prophesying. Secondly, we have a partnering. These disciples wanted to partner together with those in need and send relief unto them. And that's what missions is all about. We partner with the missionaries and we partner with the foreign mission field to send help to them with the greatest need that they have, and that need is salvation, to come to know Christ as Savior, to establish churches in their language and in their culture, who can then train and send out other disciples to do the work of the ministry as well. Every man according to his ability, the Bible says, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Now what does that mean, every man according to his ability? Well, God has made giving a very level playing field. God expects us to give back to Him the tithe, and then above the tithe we give offerings unto the Lord. You don't give an offering to God until you first give the tithe. Once we give our 10% to God, then anything we give above that is an offering unto the Lord. And so we receive the tithes of God's people as a church, and we support missionaries, and then many are very generous to give over and above their tithe an offering unto missions, so that we can do much more for missions than just the 10% that the church gives out of his budget. And it makes it every man according to his ability. If a person makes $1,000 a week and they give $100 a week as a tithe, and let's say a young person's working part-time and they're making $100 a week and they give $10. Do you realize in God's eyes they've given the same thing? It's according to your ability. It's not equal money, but it's equal sacrifice. If we give 10%, we're all giving the same thing in the eyes of the Lord. We're giving the tithe back to God. So every man, according to his ability, determined to send relief to the missionaries. And they chose Barnabas and Saul to carry the funds into Jerusalem. Now this is an amazing thing. Raphael, we want to support you in going to Colombia, South America, to build churches there on the mission field. But let's say that we had a hurricane come through here like we did years ago in 1989 when Hurricane Hugo came through and we had devastation. Now thanks be unto God, we didn't lose anything here at the church. And the only thing we lost at home, Bobby Anglin and I had to have new shingles put on our roof, and the insurance company paid for that. And the houses were old enough, it wasn't going to be too many more years, they'd need a shingle anyway. And so some of you had those kind of damages. Let's say then that another hurricane comes through here and we had trouble at the church, and Raphael explained it to his people, and they took up an offering and sent it to us. That's what took place here. This is the mission church at Antioch of the Gentile people taking up money among themselves, determined as they were able to send relief to the Jewish people who were saved in Jerusalem that were in the midst of a great famine. What an amazing thing that is. And they chose Barnabas and Saul, men who were trustworthy, men who were dedicated, men who were willing to face trial and difficulty. We find in just a moment Peter being put in prison and James being murdered by Herod, and we find the persecution in Jerusalem taking place, but these missionaries are willing to go to Jerusalem in the midst of that and take this offering to the poor saints who are at Jerusalem suffering in the time of famine. It's amazing how God works these circumstances for His honor and for His glory. Missions is all about establishing churches and teaching them to be disciples of Christ and then to repeat themselves among others of their own people. Who better to go to Colombia than somebody who has been there? Who better to go there than someone who speaks the language already and knows the customs and knows the culture and knows where to live? And on top of that, they already have work started waiting for him when he goes. Praise God. How important it is to reach the nationals, because the American missionary may not always be able to stay there. The Van Sants knew that early on in the Russian language of the Ukraine and the type of government they had from the communists. And he understood the fact that any day he could be asked to leave the country and they not renew his visa any longer. And so he came to the United States and they raised $50,000. He took that back to the Ukraine. and they bought a church building. It had been a Russian Orthodox church. Pretty decent old facility if they just do a little work to it, and they did. They remodeled it and fixed it up, and that's their main church plant in the Ukraine, and it's paid for, and it's deeded to the local church there. They own their own building. If the American missionary has to leave, there's two churches in that building, a deaf church and a hearing church, that are going to keep right on going. And since then, they've established a couple of more churches. One of them is totally deaf people. They have a deaf pastor who has established a deaf church. And there's another missionary that worked with them for a couple of years to learn, and they have gone across town and established another church in the same city in Simferopol in the Ukraine. And that's how missions works. They've established a national pastor from there who they've put in as a pastor of a church, another mission work that is going out of the work that we have helped to support. Turn over your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians. Keep your bookmark here. We'll come back, but 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 and chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, as he had begun, so he would finish also in you the same grace also. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also, the grace of giving. I speak not by commandment, but occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. In verse 9, he said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. The grace of giving of ourselves. First giving our own self to the Lord. And then when we do that, we will give generously. The churches of Macedonia were the poorest of the New Testament churches, but they gave liberally from the heart because they saw the need, and they had to give entreaty, an appeal to the apostles to get them to take their funds because of their poverty. But they wanted to give, and they gave sacrificially. The importance with God is not how much we give, it's the percentage of the sacrifice that it is to us that we give. You see, a multimillionaire could give a large sum of money every week to the church, but it wouldn't be any sacrifice for him to do that. But many of you give in a sacrificial way. You give not out of great wealth, but you give out of your income that you earn as God has provided for you. You give back to God in a sacrificial manner. The poorest of people and the poorest of churches can still give. They can give according as they are able. It is not the amount that is important. It is the fact that they give, and they give sacrificially. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul tells us of the generosity of them. He said, for as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write unto you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, which I boast of them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Look down at verse number 8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. And in verse 8 through 15, in chapter 9, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. So as we give, God blesses us so that we have more, so that He will bless the gift that we give, so that it accomplishes more. And in so doing, we receive the blessings of the Lord and the prayers of those to whom we give. Friends, we see the trouble the United States of America is in. The missionaries see the trouble the United States of America is in. And the missionaries are praying for this church to remain strong in the Lord and to be blessed of God so that we can keep sending missions money to the missionaries that we support. Thank God our missionaries are praying for us in the political times in which we live. Now they were partnering. They listened to the prophecy and they were willing immediately, without it happening, they were immediately willing to partner with those who had need and send to those of the greatest trouble. We partner with missionaries, with children's homes, with orphanages, with Bible college training ministers for the service of God. Pleas and Amanda are two fruit right here sitting here that we support Ambassador Baptist College, and we sent a little money to them as they were going through school. And Brother Jerry Hood is a part-time student there now. And our support of that college has helped keep the college there and keep it strong. And everybody going there is being trained for the ministry in some way or another. Thanks be unto God. We got Sam and Amber coming, who are also fruit of that. They're going to come here, and Sam be our youth pastor and assistant here in the church. Amber said she dropped out one semester before she graduated so she could go and help her dad in establishing the new church up in Winchester, Virginia. And she said, beside that, I got a husband, so I didn't need to finish, you know. She said that, I did. Paul wrote about in Philippians 4:17 that going out and reaching people was fruit that abounded to those who supported him in what he was doing. As these missionaries go and reach people, that is fruit abounding to your account because you're giving to help send them to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number three, we go to chapter 12 of Acts, where persecution takes place in a great way. Verse number 30 of chapter 11, Barnabas and Saul took the money that was given and went to Jerusalem, and now we see verse 12, or chapter 12, verse 1. About that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. Now this is Herod Agrippa, the grandson of Herod the Great. He became an emperor or tetrarch that was ruling over, like what we call today a governor, ruling over provinces and counties. But he was given the title of king because he ruled over Judea. The Jews were a captive nation, so he was the king over the Jews in that region. His son, Herod Agrippa II, is who Paul will later stand before and reason with, where the scripture says, you know, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now, his job was to keep the Jewish people in line, and in order to gain favor with them, he persecuted Christians. This pleased the Jews. Remember, they're the people who cried, crucify him about Jesus Christ. They're the people that have locked Peter and the other apostles up in jail. They're the people who have thrown stones at Stephen and killed him. They're the people that are persecuting the church of Jesus Christ. And to keep them in line and gain favor with them, he said, I'll persecute some Christians and that'll make the Jews happy. Brother Wilby, you can probably bump those up about 1 degree. Might help these ladies that are cold. So when he saw what he did pleased the Jews, he proceeded, the Bible says. So we have the prophecy, and we have the partnering, and now we have prison and persecution,
And the king proceeds to take Peter also, the Bible says. But it was the time of Passover. After he killed James with a sword, he went and got Peter and brought him to jail. But it's the time of unleavened bread, the Bible says. And the time of unleavened bread, we know clearly, is the time of Passover. And so because of the feast of the Jews and him trying to please the Jews, he waits by putting Peter into prison to intend to kill him after the feast of Passover has finished. Now what a predicament the apostle finds himself in. Remember, Saul or Paul and Barnabas have come to the city to bring the offering to the poor saints that are there, and then the king decides to launch out with all this persecution upon the Christian people. So all of the apostles and all of the Christians are in great fear at this time because he's already killed James, the brother of John. One of the early disciples that spent much time with the Lord was well known among all the people. And now Peter's put in prison. The Bible says he puts him between four quaternions of soldiers. That means 16 soldiers. Four squads of four men. You see, back in chapter 5, verse 19, they'd locked the apostles up and an angel came and opened the door and let them out. Back in chapter 5, verse 19. And the people were amazed to see these guys they'd locked up right here preaching at the temple to the people again. Now they put them in jail. They put 16 soldiers with them and chain them between two of those soldiers. And two of those soldiers will be on guard outside the door. That's four. And then they have the relief for each period of hours so that there's no danger there are going to be guards asleep. There's no danger that somebody's not going to be watching. This guy's not getting out this time, they think. But the angel of the Lord comes to Peter in the night. And Peter's over there worrying himself to death. He's about to die. No, he's not. He's asleep. I doubt very seriously if I'm spiritual enough to have gone to sleep that night. But Peter just laid down and went to sleep. And I know, just like the Apostle Paul, he had told these guards why he was in prison and why he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior and how he was a witness that he'd seen him risen from the dead. And he probably gave them the gospel just like he would have done on every opportunity. And what a glorious blessing that is, because the king put him to death in just a short time when he finds that the angel sets Peter free of his chains, brings him outside the prison. And it's like a dream to Peter. He comes to himself and he's outside. He's free. And so he goes down to the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark. And he finds there that they're gathered there praying for him because he's been put in prison. They put him in prison, got ready to kill it. Listen, this church had some power in that house because they understood that when you pray in accordance with the will of God, you get results. Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain. He didn't invent that. God said, if my people worship idols, I'll withhold the rain. And so Elisha said that in the power of God, and God withheld the rain for 3.5 years. The Bible says he was just a man who has same kind of passions that you do. Temper, fear, emotions, all that sort of thing, just like we do. But he prayed earnestly it wouldn't rain, and God withheld the rain. And this little church is in the house praying for Peter, and then he knocks on the door. Now, they had power with God in prayer. He gets released immediately, but they still had that little faith because when he knocked on the door, they said, that can't be Peter. That's his ghost you see out there. And then Peter said, no, it is me. Peter had been laying down asleep, and now he's been released, and he goes to the house where the people are gathered praying. Find the prophecy of the prophet, and with the partnering of the disciples, and the persecution by the king Herod, the prison for Peter, the plot to put him to death, the persecution of the Christians, and the predicament that he is in jail, in prison. But his plight didn't rob him of his sleep. He laid down to rest. But believers are praying, and God sets him free. The angel comes and frees him, and Peter goes on with his ministry for quite some time, serving God. Now these folks are praying in a mighty way, and it's important that we pray. That we pray for the missionaries, pray for their safety, we pray for their provision, we pray for their protection. These guards were put to death when they find that Peter has escaped somehow in the night. Barnabas and Saul, look over at the end of the chapter, verse 24 and 25. The Bible says, "But the word of God grew and multiplied. Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark." They had connection with John Mark. He now goes with the missionary team when they leave Jerusalem. And it's his home where the early church is gathered to pray. No doubt they are a part of those with whom the offering was shared. And they prayed for Peter's release and accomplished a great thing for God. We see the fruit of missionary work and how it blessed not only the effort of those who did the work, but gave fruit to the account of those who sent and partnered with them and supplied the needs. We pray God will also do the same through this church for many works around the world. Let's stand together, please. Father, we ask you to bless this invitation. We give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.